Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
It begins with a date most of us remember for other reasons. Friday, June 26th, 2009. A summer night in a small Oregon town where the air still smelled faintly of cut grass and bonfire smoke. For Anna, that night would become the first thread of a story she never meant to tell. Anna hadn't gone looking for the supernatural. She found it the way people often do in the digital age, by accident, buried in a friend's laptop. She and her friend worked together, spent weekends hanging out, shared everything from rides to playlists. There was never a reason to suspect anything strange until the afternoon Anna went to borrow her friend's computer to look up a few photos. Scrolling through the desktop folders, she noticed one with a single word for a title. Him. Anna smiled to herself, assuming it was what most of us would assume. Some secret stash of boyfriend photos, maybe a celebrity crush. Curiosity got the better of her. She opened it. Inside were only two Word documents. No pictures, just text. Anna's curiosity sharpened. She clicked the first file. The pages read like personal journal entries or short stories, vivid, unsettling accounts of late-night encounters with a figure her friend called simply him. At first, Anna thought maybe her friend was writing fiction for a class or an online forum. The second file told a similar story. Strange visitations, a presence that hovered close, but never quite stepped into the light. She meant to ask about it later, but forgot. 2 days passed. On the third day, she was on the laptop again and noticed the browser's history, the name of a paranormal website she didn't recognize. Curious, she clicked. Inside the search bar, she typed the titles of the two stories she'd read, and there they were, posted publicly on that site, word for word. She read them again, this time with the comments below, and a chill crept up her spine. The details felt too intimate, too strange to be ordinary fiction. Her first reaction was denial. Either her friend had an active imagination, or something was seriously wrong. Anna decided not to confront her yet. Instead, she started paying closer attention, watching for changes in her friend's mood, asking mutual friends if they'd noticed anything unusual. Most said no. They chalked up any odd behavior to grief. Her friend had lost an aunt not long before and still had the occasional bouts of sadness. For 2 weeks, Anna shadowed her without revealing what she knew, looking for cracks in her friend's easy smile. She saw nothing that convinced her, until the night she describes as the first real sign that something else was at play. It was the fourth day of her unofficial watch. They'd finished their shift at work, and Anna suggested grabbing a drink, and her friend didn't usually drink, but agreed. Anna remembers an odd tension on the way out of the building, that stomach-tightening anticipation you feel before the doctor calls your name in the waiting room. She also couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching them from across the parking lot. Her friend, cheerful and oblivious, seemed to notice nothing. They drove to a local pub, Anna ordered a drink, they talked for a while, and around midnight her friend dropped her off at home. Anna leaned down at the driver's side window to say goodnight, and that's when she saw it. Across the street, standing in the narrow space between two houses, was a black figure, no details, just a silhouette darker than the night around it. The moment her eyes fixed on it, the figure vanished. She startled so visibly that her friend turned to follow her gaze. Seeing nothing, her friend looked back questioningly. Anna forced a laugh and blamed the alcohol, joking she needed to stop drinking. They said their good nights and parted ways. Inside her kitchen, sober and preparing for bed, Anna felt something far stranger. A heaviness pressed down on her chest and limbs. A thick, sedated, almost surgical kind of weight that made her stumble against the counter. For a moment, the air itself seemed dense, difficult to move through. Then it released her as suddenly as it had come. She rushed to the bathroom and vomited. Shaken, she climbed the stairs and collapsed into bed, telling herself it was nothing more than a passing illness. 8 days passed uneventfully. The strange sensation didn't return, and Anna convinced herself it had been stress, maybe a fluke of low blood sugar. Then came another Friday, warm, clear, perfect for a bonfire. She and her friend joined the usual circle of friends to build a fire pit and set out coolers. That morning, picking her friend up, Anna noticed something different in her. Her friend seemed lighter, happier, almost glowing. The observation nagged at Anna all afternoon. By 11:30 p.m., the bonfire was alive and the party in full swing. Anna volunteered to stay sober so she could drive everyone home later. From her spot near the flames, she watched her friend slip away toward the tree line. 15 minutes passed. Anna's worry grew. She went looking for her, crossing the clearing into the dark edge of the woods. About 15 feet in, Anna heard a low moaning, soft, almost intimate, yet unsettling in a way that froze her for a heartbeat. She stepped toward the sound, pushing through a small stand of trees, and that's when she saw them. A man, tall, dark-haired, slightly bent forward, stood in the shadowy clearing. Her friend was in his arms, one of his hands pressed gently against the small of her back, the other cradling the back of her head. Their faces hovered so close it looked like they were about to kiss, though their lips never touched. Around them, the air shimmered faintly, almost fog-like, as if the night itself was holding its breath. Anna froze, watching, unable to call out. She can't say how long she stood there staring. Then, whether she gasped, stepped on a twig, or simply moved, something changed. A loud pop cracked the stillness and the world went black. The next thing Anna remembers is hearing voices calling her name, feeling hands patting her face. When she opened her eyes, the sky was already pale with dawn, and the rest of the party was standing over her looking alarmed. They told her they'd found her passed out in the woods and assumed she'd been drinking too much. She tried to explain she hadn't had a drop, that she must have tripped and knocked herself out. To her relief, they accepted the excuse and helped her home. For the next several days, Anna heard nothing from her friend. No calls, no texts, not even a quick message online. The silence made the memory of that night gnaw at her all the more. The black figure by the houses, the thick, sedated heaviness in her kitchen, the strange glow in her friend's face at the bonfire, and of course the man she'd seen in the trees. By the fifth day, the silence was too much. Anna drove to her friend's house, determined to confront her, rehearsing what she'd say on the way. She knocked on the door. No answer. She knocked harder. Still nothing. For nearly 10 minutes, she stood on the porch, banging on the wood until finally the door opened. Her friend stood there, pale as paper, with dark shadows under her eyes. She looked like she might be sick. Her first words were a whisper, "Come inside." Once they were seated, Anna tried to keep her voice steady as she told her she was worried. She said she'd been trying to reach her, that she was scared about what had happened that night. Her friend listened quietly, avoiding her eyes, until finally she began to talk. What she told Anna made the night in the woods feel even stranger. She said the figure Anna had seen, the one holding her in the clearing, wasn't human in the way they were. She called him simply him. She insisted he hadn't meant to harm Anna on either of the occasions. She'd felt that suffocating, sedated sensation. The first time in Anna's kitchen and the second time in the woods, he was trying to keep her from coming closer. "He didn't want you too involved," her friend said. "He told me he might not be able to protect both of us." Anna's mind reeled. Her friend's words made it sound as though she had a relationship of some kind with them, with the figure in the trees. Anna wanted to argue, to demand proof, but something in her friend's face, the exhaustion, the rawness, stopped her. She stayed a while longer, listening. Her friend described a series of events that had taken place long before the bonfire, things she'd written about in the 2-word documents Anna had once found on her laptop. Late-night visitations, dreams that felt too solid to be dreams, the sense of being watched even in daylight, and most of all, the feeling that him was always nearby, sometimes protective, sometimes distant, never entirely gone. Anna sat in the small living room as dusk gathered at the windows, trying to piece together what she'd heard. The practical part of her wanted to believe her friend was under too much stress, still grieving her aunt's death, maybe suffering from exhaustion or sleep disorders. But the memory of the figure in the woods, the way the air around them had seemed to shimmer like heat off asphalt, kept replaying in her mind. She couldn't dismiss it as imagination. She left her friend's house unsettled, but strangely protective, unsure whether to call for help or to keep her friend's confidence. That night, she barely slept. Every time she closed her eyes, she saw the tableau beneath the trees. Her friend in the stranger's arms, that misted air pressing close around them, and the low moaning she couldn't unhear. In the days that followed, Anna noticed subtle changes in herself. She caught herself glancing over her shoulder more often. A few times, walking to her car in the evening, she felt that same anxious sensation she'd felt the night they'd left the pub. That quiet prickling at the back of the neck that tells you you're being watched. She couldn't say why, but she began to sense that whatever her friend had entangled herself with hadn't entirely let go of Anna either. She started keeping a closer eye on her friend again, careful not to push too hard. The friend seemed calmer now, almost resigned, as though she'd accepted her strange companion's presence as a fact of life. It was that calmness, that strange serenity that unsettled Anna most. Her friend wasn't acting like someone in danger. She was acting like someone in a relationship. Anna remembers one evening meeting up for coffee. Her friend smiled easily, but there was a weariness behind her eyes. When Anna asked if everything was all right, her friend hesitated, then just nodded. It was as though there were whole conversations happening in her friend's life that Anna would never be allowed to hear. Anna debated telling someone else, a mutual friend, maybe even a family member, but every time she tried to start the conversation, the words died in her throat. How do you explain that your best friend might be involved with something you can't name? That you've seen something you can't prove? All she could do was watch and wait and wonder. What haunted Anna most was that her friend claimed the presence wasn't malicious, that it had even intervened to keep Anna at a distance for her own safety. It raised more questions than it answered. What did it want? Why appear in that almost intimate embrace under the trees? And what kind of protection could a thing like that possibly offer? Anna told me that by the time summer deepened, she'd begun to sense a shift in the atmosphere whenever her friend was around, as if her presence brought with it a faint electric charge, a subtle tension in the air that wasn't there before. The two of them still worked together, still laughed at inside jokes, still tried to hold on to their normal routines. But Anna couldn't shake the memory of that fogged clearing in the woods. So that's where the story rests now. Two friends bound by a secret encounter one of them doesn't fully believe and the other won't fully explain. And a figure known only as him, who may or may not be watching them still. Anna says that even now, years later, she still remembers that night in the woods with an almost photographic clarity. The bonfire glow behind her, the cool hush of the trees, the strange mist surrounding her friend and that figure. But what she remembers more vividly than the sight is the sound, that low, almost human moaning that made the hairs on her arms lift. She still can't describe it without her voice dropping. After that night, the friendship shifted in ways neither of them could quite name. On the surface, they were the same, co-workers, confidants, laughing over coffee. But beneath the jokes lay an unspoken tension. Anna had seen something she couldn't unsee, and her friend had confessed to something she couldn't fully explain. Between them lingered the question. Neither dared to ask, what was he? Anna often thought back to the first sign she'd ever noticed, that folder labeled him on her friend's laptop. At the time, she'd brushed it off as harmless curiosity. Now it felt like a warning she hadn't recognized. She sometimes wondered how long her friend had been carrying this secret and whether keeping it had made the presence stronger. She also found herself thinking about that strange, sedated feeling she'd experienced twice, once alone in her kitchen, and once the instant everything went black in the woods. It wasn't dizziness or fainting. It felt deliberate, as if something had pressed down on her consciousness, flipping a switch. She tried to tell herself it was stress, maybe a panic response, but deep down she didn't believe it. It had felt too targeted, too purposeful. In the weeks that followed, Anna noticed her friend avoiding certain topics. When conversation steered toward dating, her friend grew quiet. When someone mentioned late-night plans or camping trips, her friend often changed the subject. Anna began to suspect that him, whoever or whatever he was, had become more than just an apparition. He had become a factor in her friend's life decisions, as real and influential as any living partner. Sometimes, sitting across from her friend at lunch, Anna would catch her staring off into the distance, lips parted, as though she were listening to someone else. Other times, she would catch a flicker of fear in her friend's eyes when shadows moved at the edge of the room. It was subtle, but Anna noticed. She never confronted her about it again. Something told her that pressing too hard might break the fragile trust they had left. Instead, she became the quiet witness, the friend who stayed close without asking too many questions, hoping her presence alone might serve as a kind of anchor to the normal world. But even Anna couldn't fully escape the sense that she brushed against something otherworldly that night. She found herself replaying details over and over, the way the air around the two of them in the woods had seemed to shimmer, as if charged with static, the way the clearing had felt both hushed and alive. The pop that came just before the blackness, sharp, metallic, final. Sometimes, late at night, she thought she heard faint echoes of that same sound. In her own house, like the creak of cooling metal. Though she never found a source, her friend's explanation that him had acted to protect them both haunted her most of all. Protect them from what? From himself, from something worse. The logic of it slipped through her fingers no matter how she tried to reason it out. She also couldn't shake the memory of her friend's expression at the door that day when she finally answered, pale, hollow-eyed, as though she'd been standing on the edge of a choice no one else could see. That image lingered almost as strongly as the sight in the woods. Eventually, the summer passed, and with it, the urgency of that night faded into the routines of work and life. But Anna says there's still a residue left, a sense that they crossed a threshold together, and nothing has been quite the same since. She never spoke of it to the rest of their friends. To this day, no one else from that bonfire knows what she witnessed. They still think she simply passed out in the woods from too much sun or not enough water. Anna admits she sometimes wonders if silence was a mistake, whether sharing the story earlier might have helped her friend or saved them both from further involvement. But even now, when she tries to talk about it, the words feel heavy on her tongue as though they don't want to be spoken aloud. Her friend, for her part, has never described him as threatening. She talks about him almost gently, as though he's a guardian rather than a danger. That, Anna says, is what unsettles her most. Not anger or fear, but affection. She believes the entity, whatever its nature, cares for her friend in some way she can't understand. When Anna tells the story now, she doesn't offer conclusions. She can't say for certain what she saw that night by the trees or what held her friend in that fog-hushed embrace. All she knows is what she felt. The unnatural weight in the air, the choking sedative pressure, the black figure between the houses, the low moaning in the clearing. Those sensations live on in her memory long after the night itself ended. She says sometimes she'll be driving home at dusk and catch herself glancing at the tree lines along the road, half expecting to see that dark-haired figure standing there in the last slant of sunlight. She never has. But the feeling that he could be there has never quite left. If you're listening to this and imagining how you'd react when stepping into a stand of trees at midnight to find your best friend in the arms of something that may not even be human, you might already feel the instinct Anna describes, the sudden chill at the base of the spine, the urge to back away before it notices you. She didn't back away. She moved forward and everything went black. Anna ends her story with more questions than answers. Is her friend safe? Is him a protector or a predator? Or is he something far older that doesn't fit either word? She still doesn't know, and neither does her friend. That's where we leave her tonight. Two young women bound by a secret night in the Oregon woods, a figure whose intentions remain unreadable, and an unseen presence that made itself known with a single pop in the dark. Sometimes the most unsettling stories aren't about what happens next, but about never knowing what already happened.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.